Well, I'm Jeff Klein. I'm going to call this meeting to order of the Plan of Operation Committee meeting of the Board of Directors of the Texas Surplus Line Stamping Office, the SLTX. Today is September 25th, 2025, and the time is 3:01 Central. I'm now calling this meeting to order. The meeting's being held in person at the Surplus Line Stamping Office of Texas, at 1601 East Pflugerville Parkway, Suite 3301 Pflugerville, Texas 78660. All committee members were notified of this meeting on September 4th. The Deputy Commissioner of Insurance and her delegates, and we're pleased to have some representatives here, were notified of this meeting on September 15th in accordance with Section 2C2 of the Plan of Operation. And notice of the meeting was published in the Texas Register on September 18th. 2025 in accordance with the Texas Government Code, Chapters 551. Noted all board meetings as well were notified of this meeting on September 4th. A conference call-in number was provided to members of the public in the public meeting notice. Committee members which are present are Ryan Bridges remotely, Pete Harrison, who was kind enough to join this group when I didn't have enough members, and me. A quorum of two or more committee members is present. Leslie Lilgenberg, the board chair, is present as well. Also attending are Executive Director Greg Brandon, Director of Finance Ronnie Ford, General Counsel Michael Norad, also Toby Pick, Esquita, Marisa Gomez, Ronnie Ford, as I mentioned, and Shalonda Stone. Is there a TSLA liaison attending in person or by phone? We have several representatives of the Texas Department of Insurance. Can you announce yourselves? Thank you for being here.
Andy Guerrero, Director of Company Licensing at TDA.
Andy Guerrero, Director of Company Licensing.
Office of Financial Counsel.
Roberta Nordstrom, Office of Financial Counsel. Thanks for being here. All board members, stamping office employees, board liaisons, and state agency representatives should kindly identify themselves when they speak. Please mute your phones or microphones when you are not speaking. As per usual, we have some procedural announcements before we get to the agenda. We will not have public comments for this meeting. Representatives of state agencies and members of the public who are attending are welcome to listen to or record this meeting, but please refrain from asking questions of committee members during the meeting or injecting comments during the meeting's discussions. Members of the public or media, please place your phone on mute. State agency personnel may be asked questions about their agency policies if those questions relate to an agenda item. And antitrust activity or discussion are always prohibited at stamping office functions. This includes the exchange of information concerning individual company rates, coverages, market practices, claim settlement practices, expenses, or any other competitive aspect of an individual company's operation. Agenda item two is discussion and appropriate approval of the December 13th, 2024 committee meeting minutes. Everyone was provided a copy of the December 13th, 2024 Plan of Operation Committee meeting minutes. Are there any revisions or corrections to the minutes? I wanted to note for the record that the minutes substantially involved the question of ongoing discussions with the TDI and within the board of the Plan of Operation, and there was no decision to make any changes at that time. Is there any further discussion? There being no further discussion, do we have a motion to approve the December 13th, 2024 meeting minutes?
So moved.
Do I have a second?
I'll second.
So Pete Harrison has made the motion. Ryan Bridges has seconded. Any further discussion? If not, all who approve say aye. Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? No. The motion passes. We'll move on to agenda item three. This is a discussion and appropriate action of the 2025 year-to-date amended plan of operation. there any discussion or questions regarding the 2025 year-to-date plan of operation before I make a comment and have Greg make one as well? I wanted to make the comment that discussions have been ongoing with the TDI for some time. We appreciate their work and cooperation with us. The plan of operation amendments contain some technical changes, but the substantive changes surround several provisions which will provide the board additional flexibility in its operation. And I wanted to have Executive Director Greg Brandon perhaps give us a few illustrations of it.
Sure. Thanks, Jeff. So if you wouldn't mind, scroll down to section two. That's really where the substantive stuff starts. So right there, section 2A3, see the update there. Kind of changes the verbiage associated with tenure on the board. So now you can see it says director serve a given term no more than 3 years, but may serve multiple terms with each term ending December 31st. So that's a kind of a seemingly minor change, right? But there was always some confusion about when you started and when you ended and if you could be reappointed and when those discussions happen. So it, I think it just adds a lot of clarity for the board of directors going forward. So pretty substantial, but I know it seemingly doesn't seem so, but it is good verbiage to add to. Next one is number five. So section 2A5. You may recall we always had a little bit of a challenge with the training because the former verbiage said that the board of directors had to be trained on Public Information Act, Open Meeting Act, and general governments before they serve the first meeting. So now, as you know, the Open Meeting Act and the Public Information Act, that's online. So that was a relatively easy thing to do for everybody. But the governance training pretty much mandated that we had to conduct that in March, right before our first meeting. And so that has changed. You can see they've changed it to corporate governance no later than 60 days after serving at the first board meeting. So that's nice. It gives everybody the flexibility because sometimes we were challenged with if the board member was unable to attend the first meeting of the year or couldn't attend the meeting before the meeting to have the governance training. So this really provides all of us with much more flexibility in being able to provide that training for everybody. So that's a great update. So moving on to number six, you can see conflict. There was a little bit of verbiage confusion there. So this is regarding the conflict of interest policy. You guys see that and you sign those conflict of interest statements every year. But there was confusion in the verbiage about whether or not the statements needed to be sent to TDI for review or whether the policy. And so this was updated to clearly indicate that it's the policy that the folks at TDI wanted to review and not the individual statements every year. Next one would be B2B4. This basically removed a lot of verbiage that was there really regarding the executive director, right? So you can see what's all been struck. So the board no longer has to notify the commissioner of the selection and proposed terms of any employment offer 5 days prior to making an offer. And then it also removed the ability for the commissioner to reject that selection and the terms and also removed the termination of the executive director by the discretion of the commission. So those have all been removed from the document. Number five seems like a subtle change, but it really is, right? But the board must provide for an annual independent financial audit. If you go back in history, 5-6 years ago, we had four different audits occurring at the same time. And so we added the word financial there because financial audit was the intent of this. And so it kind of removed the ambiguity of what audit are we supposed to be providing for. So again, a relatively simple fix, but if you go back to whenever we initially proposed all this, it was when we were being audited by several organizations at the same time. The next one is number seven. This is a nice update as well, because you can see what's been stricken is on receipt of the proposed budget. And then, so what it created really was there were two timelines, and you argue that it didn't give the Finance and Audit Committee the opportunity to look at the proposed budget before we sent it to the Texas Department of Insurance for review, because it said when the Finance and Audit Committee receives it, they need to forward it on to TDI to proposed budget for review. So it's been changed, saying before the board votes to adopt the budget, the board's Audit and Finance Committee must refer the proposed budget to the Texas Department of Insurance. So that's a nice change. It kind of removed that ambiguity, like, are we supposed to send it to you as soon as we get it done, or are we supposed to send it to you after we review it, right? So this has a little bit of clarity, giving the Finance and Audit Committee the opportunity to actually review the document before it's put it on for review. The next one is the Devin. Let's move on to C2C1. Another relatively subtle change that will free up committee discussion. So this change just simply added the word field, right? So for all board meetings, must comply with the Texas Open Meeting Act, and they must be held in Texas. That was changed. It didn't used to contain the word board, right? And it just said all meetings. And the challenge with that is we have three-person committees. And if three-person committees have to comply with the Open Meeting Act, that means two people is a quorum. And two people can't even send an email to each other without creating a quorum, violating the Open Meeting Act. So this really provides a lot of flexibility for the board members and the committees to have discussions and be able to exchange emails and whatnot without violating the Open Meeting. So it's a nice change for all future board committee meetings, because it was very challenging to have any type of communication that didn't violate the Open Meeting as well. So it's a nice, again, a relatively subtle change. But it really kind of frees up the committees to have much more communication and interaction. Now, one of the things that was also changed is if you go to B, this is another relatively subtle change, but it's a nice one. The plan used to require a review of the plan and proposed amendments annually. So this has changed now to an a biennial review. So annually was probably too much, right? If you look at what we were doing, we were providing a lot of proposed amendments to the folks at TDI because it was required by the plan to do it every year. So somewhere in the middle, right? You didn't want the plan of operation to be stagnant and never looked at again, right? You don't want to look at 10 years from now, you don't want to look at the same plan of operation. Hopefully the world has changed enough that you needed an updated plan as well. But annually was too much. So somewhere in there, we needed some way to say, hey, we don't have to do this every year, but we also want an evergreen document. And so it was changed. So starting in 2027, every odd year after that, we will review the plan of operation. Those amendments
So that review is mandatory, right, Chris?
Yes. The other big change, it's 2C10. So scroll down to number 10. And this is a change specifically for the Finance and Audit Committee. Because the version is about board meetings applying with OMA and kind of freeing up committees to have meetings and interactions that don't violate the OMA. This was amended to try and add a little bit of public notice, if you will. So, you know, now that committees don't have to comply with the Open Meeting Act, there's no reason to post agendas and all that other stuff to the Secretary of State's website and all that. So
What this does is says, well, the Finance and Audit Committee is held to a little bit higher standard than the other committees. And they still need, we still need to post notice of the meetings and the agenda and the information on our website. And we have to do that. So basically, we no longer have to comply with the OMA and submit it to the Secretary of State, but we will still have to post it on our website 7 days prior to the meeting to make sure that the public is aware that our Finance and Audit Committee is meeting. So that was a nice change. You know, if you're going to no longer require Open Meeting Act or subcommittees or all the committees, this is a nice way to say, hey, the Finance and Audit is still a little bit of a cut above all the other ones. Have the ability, public needs the ability to know the Finance and Audit Committee is meeting.
Yeah, I think, let me go through my notes. I think that was the biggest ones that I perceived in the day. Does anybody have any questions or concerns before we verify all of that?
Is there any discussion or questions by anybody present in the room?
Oh, no, one thing. Ryan, one thing we need to be able to see you as well as hear you. Sorry, I should have mentioned that at the beginning of the meeting.
Sorry, give me 1 second, mate.
Right, it's really only for a vote.
That so work?
Yeah, that's okay. Perfect.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Sorry, guys.
I should have recognized that earlier than just now. But yeah, that concludes everything that I had.
That's great insight. Greg, any questions or comments? I have a recommendation regarding the plan of operation as amended year to date 2025. I recommend that the plan as amended and reviewed and discussed today be submitted for review by the full board tomorrow and then submitted to the TDI for approval by the Commissioner of the Texas Department of Insurance in accordance with Section 1C of the Stamping Office Plan of Operation, Section 981.153B of the Texas Insurance Code, and Chapter 15, Rule 201 of the Texas Administrative Code. Again, we thank the department for its collaboration on this longstanding important item. No other questions or comments? This brings us to our last agenda item. I'll move to adjourn. Do we have a second?
Second.
Second by Pete Harrison. The meeting is adjourned at 3:18 p.m. Central Daylight Time. Thank you all.